Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. You can check out Liberty Conspiracy Live every Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter/X at Guard Goldsmith. And, of course, find the show after the fact anytime at Rumble and Rockfin. What's on tap, one and all? What is on tap? Well, guess what? We are going to be starting with a pretty intense little theme. Coming from none other than O.O. Very good. Very good, Ozzy. Yes, Ozzy. Ozzy Osbourne. He is the man in the moon. You know what's pretty cool about that is when I first heard that song, I didn't realize the production on that song is really good. And there's this really cool chord of sort of phaser keyboard thing that comes in and out sometimes. It's like this wow, wow. So you not only have that hard rocking thing, you get that sort of weird sort of extra weirdness of the keyboards that go in there. So good job, Ozzy, and of course Randy Rhoads. God rest his soul, Randy Rhoads. What a terrible story for him. You know, he wasn't a troubled guy or anything like that, but this accident that killed him with the plane, just so sad, so sad. Well, everybody, for this, let's turn to MRC TV. And one of the pieces I got to write over the weekend, it is, of course, you got it, my friends, the eclipse. Politicians everywhere are declaring emergencies for the moon passing before the sun. Yeah, I know. It's just so freaked out. Now, there are a number of arguments and rationales that people have presented about this. So let's do this. Let's turn to the video that we made for it. This is on YouTube. I wonder if there'll be a commercial because I've already lined up the other video. I've already got it set up. Let's just go with the Rumble version, huh? Let's just give Rumble more traffic because they're awesome. Here we go. Check it out, y'all. And by the way, this is an edited version. I just don't want to disappoint you, but I'll give you this section that was edited out. And I know, very exciting stuff, the inner workings of MRC TV. And I think you'll enjoy this because you might have noticed some of the same things I did, and maybe you wanted to do a video on this as well. Leave your comments inside Rockfin X or Rumble. Metaphors, the potential metaphors and analogies are as limitless as the cosmos, but the sun god power assumptions taken by numerous state and county level politicians in preparation for the great solar eclipse not only reveal true stellar conceit, they shine light on the ridiculous and unconstitutional aid money grab, always tied to declarations of emergency and disaster. They also reveal a deeply troubling fact about how many politicians seem to think it's the role of government to act as mother hen, because government has, of course, slid into so many aspects of what should be private, consensual affairs and assessments. Hi, everyone. I'm Gardner Goldsmith for MRC TV. You know, along the path of the full solar eclipse, American political parasites are taking advantage of that momentary darkness in the sky. In Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican, wink, wink, a man who seemed to see no lockdown or tax-funded enticement that he didn't like,
Well, he's announced from Mount Olympus, a.k.a. the governor's office, that he's declared a state of emergency to, as he says, ensure that everyone has a great day. In Arkansas, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, a Republican, has declared a state of emergency until April 10th, ordering the Response and Recovery Fund to give her Division of Emergency Management $100,000 because we want to make sure Arkansans and all visitors have an enjoyable experience and come back again and again. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb, a Republican, March 26th issued a similar state of emergency that will last through 11:59 p.m. on April 9th. And numerous other politicians and even judges in Texas counties and cities have done the same. Sure is nice to see how kind they want to be to tourists, given that, as if in chorus, these politically powered players declare the influx of hundreds of thousands of eclipse watchers as an unusual occurrence that could require more policing on roads, managing of traffic, and visits to their tax-funded parks. But that presents a long-standing philosophical question that many contemporary Americans often avoid. It's the question of whether politicians or anyone can assume for others that they can take their money and spend it on things those citizens, if left free, might not have chosen. The immorality of taking the cash is actually the stopping point. But if one would like to explore the matter along other vectors, one can lay out the vast array of so-called public services so many Americans now assume are part of the political world, and then ask whether the so-called services are something that can be or were provided by the private market. Certainly, privately owned theme parks see tens of thousands or perhaps hundreds of thousands of people visiting every day or every few days. Music festivals see the same. They have no right to demand payments for security from people across the state, people who never attend these events or never ask for entrance into the parks. Practically, in fact, if you look at it, the idea of scalability and management then come into play. Private market incentives for recognizing costs and benefits always reveal what levels of manpower and other resources are beneficial for private gatherings, but government assumptions of those responsibilities smother the cost-benefit signals. In fact, because government actions don't rely on voluntary participation for payment, they logically cannot be claimed to promote any real benefit. If people are forced to pay, then their power to judge quality is canceled by the state. Many people don't want to be roped into this event, this eclipse event. They shouldn't have to pay for others to have an enjoyable experience. And by making them pay, the state removes any way to measure the efficacy of its crowd management / policing system. Does the government spend too much on that? Too little on that? You can't ask those questions or withhold your money when the politicians assume that they can take it from you for any reason, including what they call an emergency. But of course, it actually goes deeper, because many people might argue that the state has to manage roads, so they might think that an influx of tourists on the government-run roads throws a magic switch, such that the government must tax everyone to handle the new circumstances on those roads. But not everyone uses the roads, nor does everyone use the roads to the same degree or for similar purposes. And to assume that government in America historically always has built and run the roads is tragically erroneous. As Thomas DiLorenzo noted in his book, How Capitalism Saved America, and as I've noted here for MRC TV, in both Europe and America, roads were started and managed privately, long, long before government got involved, started taking land via eminent domain, then mismanaging the roads, even as it sent police onto them to pretend they could breach the Fourth Amendment and search our cars without warrants. This is all factual, on-the-ground history, to offer a mild pun, and history already has answered the question of whether private parties can and will build pathways on which people can travel to reach others. If government were the only thing that could facilitate our interest in traveling to visit others or visit stores, how in the world could stores have made access lanes and parking lots? How could they have managed them without taxing people and do better jobs at maintenance than government? That's valuable grist for the mental mill. But one more item might give us some perspective on this fraudulent emergency fad casting its shadow on so many halls of government. It's what you might have guessed, everybody. By declaring these emergencies, the politicians, yeah, they get to siphon cash away from people in other states via, of course, unconstitutional federal so-called aid. As Kaylee Gleason reports for Forbes, quote, state of emergency declarations can trigger several potential means of assistance from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, including individual assistance for small businesses and households, as well as public assistance programs for road systems, public facilities, and other emergency protective measures. On county and city levels, such declarations allow local officials to get assistance from state emergency management agencies, but local and state governments can directly request assistance from the federal government if needed, including asking the president to declare a major disaster, according to FEMA. Another eclipse of the U.S. Constitution. It's another opportunity for some to live at the expense of others. Perhaps when the light returns, some of the mother hens and paternalists in politics can read the Constitution under that light. Perhaps they can look at history and stop this kind of parasitic behavior. It's doubtful, but perhaps a widespread recognition of ethics and the Golden Rule might arise before the next emergency eclipse. Thank you so much for watching, everyone. Please like and subscribe. Follow us on Rumble where they don't censor us. Thank you again, Rumble team. Really appreciate it.
And thank you to the MRC TV team. Again, you know, it's amazing how quickly they work. They do such great jobs pulling out the edits from my hyperlinks, putting the pictures up there and so on. It's just fantastic. And I really appreciate Eric Shiner, who is the director of MRC TV, Brittany Hughes, who is the editor, the managing editor for the printed stuff. And all the people who do really good work on the video editing side and everything. So thanks. I hope you thought that was a good presentation. And maybe you noticed a few things going on with the eclipse. If you got a chance to check it out, you know, I have to mention actually before we go any further in the show, because we're growing by leaps and bounds, we have a new sponsor. It's true. We have a new sponsor, everybody. So. Right now, we have to open up the door and talk to our ad sponsor voice guy, part of our amazing team, part of the crew. That's why we have such high budgets here. And we got to talk to him to find out about our new sponsor. Everybody's coming in just showering us with cash. It's crazy. It's out of control. Let's find out. Are you there, new sponsor guy? Give us the word. We got somebody new.
That's right, Card. We want to thank our new sponsor, the Declaration of Emergency During an Eclipse. Yes, you too can get lots of cash from taxpayers and future tax slaves if you just declare an emergency in your life, and you'll get the money. Keep it in mind, everybody. If you want advice on how to do it, go to declareemergencynow.com. OrgComFMDC. And when you get there, .edu, you can also apply for a special voucher so that when you pay for the class, Joe Biden will end up making taxpayers pay for your loan. Back to you, guys.
Now, thank you, advertising voice guy. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad you're working for us here, man. I know you have a lot of options, so thank you so much. We'll see you again next time, dude. Really appreciate it very, very much.
Not a problem, guard! I'm just going to make sure that I make my own money as I declare an emergency for virtually everything in my life. Oh, shoot! We're out of orange juice! Emergency! Emergency! Back to you, guard! By the way, I might not be working for you in the future because I'll just be declaring so many emergencies.
Wow, we're going to have to get another voice guy then. Shoot, that's kind of a bummer. Now, maybe we can get Corinne Jean-Pierre. She can be like our new spokesperson or whatever, you know? Hey, if you want a little something on what it looked like today, if you were not in the zone of the eclipse, it was actually pretty interesting. You know, I've been through a couple of these things and survived. I know, survived the apocalypse. But here's a little something from outside the G estate in lovely Amherst, named after that guy who almost convinced people to give the disease-ridden, diseased lice inside mats to the Native Americans back in the colonial days. Who's that guy? Here we are. This is me checking it out.
All right. So, thanks, Bree. Cool. Oh, right on. So. No problem. It's very gray out here. It has that thing up there in the sky. Gets.
Works well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Works well, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying a lot of different things here.
There's a neon box.
And there, folks, is the shot that I got as we were right on the edge of the full solar eclipse. We were right along the pathway, or about a couple miles south from the pathway. So we got quite a show, and it did get really weird. It, you know, it's a typical sort of, you know, like the cloud. It's like, you know, you got a storm coming in or something like that. But it was a little bit different because a lot of the evening birds started to chirp. You could hear the whippoorwills going, and they usually come towards the end of the day. And so that was very interesting. And, you know, I've seen some of these things before, tried a bunch of different techniques. I used a little water pan thing with the reflection and so on, which was great, except we had a breeze today. So it was kind of weird. It was like something out of a 1960s, flashback from like a Monkees episode, showing like, you know, Davy Jones looking down at a river or a stream, thinking about the girl he found in love, that he loved. And there'd be like the reflection of the sunlight and the dappled leaves and so on the river. And then they'd go to like, you know, they'd blur it out and they'd do a dissolve to Davy and the girl running around, jumping, having a good time, you know, that sort of thing, you know, fighting, doing bullfighting, you know, the typical Davy Jones. Or actually, Davy Jones was quite an athletic guy. So it reminded me of that. Like, it would get sort of blurry, like you're going into a flashback, and then it would come back. But my sister got the glasses, which is super cool. And I guess you can call those Panglossian sunglasses. They give you the rose-colored image of the solar eclipse. But there it is, everybody. That's what allowed so many of the state politicians to get a bunch of cash. Yeah. Awesome. I don't know. I know. It's like, what? We got to do something about that thing up in the sky. It's going to freak everybody out. Yeah. But, however, if we could only have more of those eclipsi, then the anthropogenic global climate warming change problem that we all know is definitely real, it wouldn't be happening. We'd be all set. It's almost as if the solar power is what drives 1,500-year warming and cooling cycles. Quiet. Don't mention Fred Singer's book, Unstoppable Global Warming Every 1,500 Years. I said it. I'm so sorry. And I'm an apostate. Let's find out a little bit, my friends, about the climate cult. Here they are.
But oh, it's too hot. my lady. I gotta run for shelter, gotta run for safety. It's too hot, lady. Gotta cool this anger for the mess we have made. So long ago, you were my love, oh my love.
Give me that smooth guitar. Yeah, baby. Excellent stuff. All right, get ready, everybody. As we mentioned in the billboard for tonight, John Kerry, we tried to tell him, don't let the door hit you on the way out there, John. Well, guess what? Not only is his daughter continuing to do the climate cult stuff with the WEF and stuff like that, as he leaves the climate czar's position and goes to work for the Biden administration,
getting Joe Biden reelected. Hello, John Kerry, reporting for duty.
Thank you, John. You're so cool.
Thank you. Thank you. Don't call me Lurch.
He is actually giving us the finger as we try to kick him out the door. Well, as he leaves voluntarily. Here it is, folks. Tribune News Service reports John Kerry, we've been waiting for this, shows naked contempt in final refusal to share climate office identities. Now, various Congress people have been looking for this information for ever since he started and at the climate czar, you know, highly constitutional position that you're paying for and for which you're paying and many other people are paying. But this story, if it comes from Boston, you know, the story's got to be a really pro-liberty story. So here it is. Dateline Boston. Oh, let's go to our newsreel footage guy. Hey, because, you know, we have a really big staff. So I know I try to do a really good impression of him. But here he is, newsreel footage guy coming in from the 1930s and 40s. Are you there? Have you come through the wormhole? Are you there? Newsreel guy, are you there? I'm here, Gardner. I am here to give you the story. John Kerry shows naked contempt. Ooh la la. We better get the Motion Picture Artists Association on top of that one. In final refusal to share climate office identities. Rated X. Dateline Boston. Outgoing climate jet setter John Hero Kerry is again showing his naked contempt for transparency by refusing to reveal his staff in an office that has operated in the dark since its inception. Yes, good movie. Kerry is now being moved to President Joe Biden's campaign committee with longtime Democrat strategist John Podesta replacing him. Oh, joy, Skippy peanut butter. I love it. We'll be back with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Remember, check out the show live every Monday through Friday on Rumble and Rockfin and my Twitter /X at Guard Goldsmith. Be part of the conspiracy for freedom, because, of course, freedom is out of fashion nowadays.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
News update. More than 200 people rescued in Harris County, Texas as rivers flood. Residents being rescued on airboats from their homes. New developments out of the Middle East, where a deal to release Israeli hostages from Hamas captivity is still being negotiated in Egypt. Meanwhile, the Israeli cabinet voting to remove the Al Jazeera TV network from operating in Israel. Back here in the U.S., pro-Palestinian protesters interrupt the University of Michigan graduation ceremony. The demonstration demonstrators removed on Saturday. President Biden speaking at the White House saying students have a right to protest but not to break the law. Biden scheduled to speak at the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. as Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day, begins, a week of events planned to educate this generation as to the atrocities the Nazis committed against Jews. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Welcome to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, the founder of The Liberty Conspiracy, which can be heard live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, running for at least an hour and a half. We stream at Rumble, Rockfin, and on my Twitter / X account, at Gard Goldsmith. That's G-A-R-D Goldsmith. You can also find some of our material on YouTube and some of it on BitChute as well. And you can visit my Substack, which is the Gardner Goldsmith Substack. And every Sunday, check out the Sunday News Assembly, which contains 20 stories at least that pertain to liberty, plus contextual information that will help draw out of those breaking stories long-term lessons that you can pass on to others in future generations. Hey, remember how we discussed when we were looking at the billboard the incredible power of Janet Yellen? It's almost like psychedelic. You know what I'm saying? It's like boosh, boosh, mind-blowing stuff. Well, I don't know if she physically traveled to China. Remains to be seen. Might have been AI-generated Yellen. You know, she's kind of compact. Probably doesn't take a lot of memory to, you know, work on an AI Yellen image, right? Or to actually mimic her thought processes, probably very easy to do that. Even with some of the most basic computer technology, you could probably mimic pretty much everything that she would think of. However, Janet Yellen, talking about businesses and the economy, Janet Yellen, she wasn't promoting EVs. She was promoting the idea of making it more expensive for you to live. And here it is. And this is one of those great options for a guy who works for MRC TV to be able to turn to the editor to say, hey, would you like an article about how poorly this was written, even by Fox News? Well, here it is. Here's the headline from Fox News. Yellen says tough conversations needed on China's overproduction. We often hear this. We often hear from protectionists out there say, they're dumping, they're dumping. You know, sort of an Invasion of the Body Snatchers twist, right? They're coming, they're coming. What's coming? The cheap products that people could buy and save money with. Wait, what? Yeah, we got to stop them. How are you going to do it? Aggression. The government. Why? We have to protect the other people who are going to cost the consumers more. Wait, but they're the visible people. They're the ones we can see. They're the ones who can lobby government and get us into another mode of tariffs that will pick essential and non-essential. Yeah, but didn't you not like essential? No, wait, you don't understand. This is my choice of essential, non-essential, not the other choice from the lockdown. This is completely different. Doesn't sound different to me. No, it is. You're not listening to me. I am listening to you. I think we're hearing different things and using a lot of logical assumptions that are not logical in any way. In fact, they're Aristotelian frauds, as Aristotle might bring up. Yeah. Well, yeah, here's the story. Here is Janet Yellen. She says there are tough conversations needed on China's overproduction. And you can see even Fox is pushing it. Yellen is the quintessential China dove. She's not pushing hard enough against those evil, cheap Chinese products. I tell you what, Janet, you know what you could do? We can pull a Harrison Bergeron. What'll be really, really great, we'll get everybody employed. We just cut off a person, every other person, we cut off their arm. Or we add sandbags to them. It will increase the burden to get stuff done, and that'll employ everybody. It'll be awesome. I know it'll be more expensive to get stuff. We won't be able to produce as much. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, in a real economy where the monetary system is free, not attached to the state, the monetary system would retain its value and productivity would see more produced for less money. So you would actually be able to get more for your money. Prices would go down. That's right. And so people would end up saving, knowing that if they put off a purchase now, they might be able to get even more of it later, up to a certain point, because, of course, people have their own preferences. But that saving, that saved money would then be in a bank and, again, lent out to prospective business people who can employ more people. Productivity leads to surplus. The surplus can then be showered on new people that we never could have showered that surplus on, to leave a preposition dangling. And you get new opportunities, as Frederick Bastiat would say in the broken window parable, that we never would have known about unless we allow somebody to save some cash and we don't break their windows on them, which is exactly what Janet Yellen wants to do to you, to stop you from buying imports, whether it's from China or anywhere else. Let's check it out. Here's more of the story. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said Sunday during her trip to Beijing, I'm sure that was very useful use of your money, don't you think? That the U.S. and China have a duty to manage the complex relationship between the countries' responsibility and raised concerns about the impact. And she raised concerns. There should be a comma there. And she raised concerns about the impact of Chinese firms. I love that classic. It's overproduction. Well, you know how it's overproduction? You find out whether the firm is maintaining its profitability or it ends up adjusting to cut back. Then you know that they were overproducing and demand wasn't high enough. Overproduction is a term that private firms use when they say, you know what, we're producing too much. We're getting a decrease. We're seeing a decrease in demand. We've got to slow down our production. We're going to cut back. Right? That's the market. It responds to incentives from free-minded people, people who have free will, who don't have to have their money showered on a good day for the people who want to sightsee for the eclipse. Let's take people's money for people to manage the roads. I'd rather spend my money on something else. Thank you. No, you can't. We'll choose for you. Well, real value can be shown by real people, not the government. And so Yellen doesn't get it. Yellen met with Chinese Premier Li Qiang, the number two official in the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, of course. That, of course, standing for climate control policies. Behind General Secretary Xi Jinping, for 80 minutes. Well, that's just perfect. In Beijing on Sunday. And Li said the U.S. and China should be partners rather than advisors and touted the constructive progress made during her trip. Yellen's trip to China is her second in the last 9 months. Do you think she was bowing and bowing and bowing like one of those ducks, those little duck things that goes back and forth into the water? While we have more to do, I believe that over the past year, we have put our bilateral relationship on more stable footing, Yellen said. This has not meant ignoring our differences or avoiding tough conversations. It has meant understanding that we can only make progress if we directly or openly communicate with one another. You know what's interesting? You know when you go to the store and it's like, you know, it's you and the person selling you the thing? What's funny is you don't have the buying buddy who's constantly at your side. You know, I mentioned this to students, and I put it in writing as well. A lot of people think of the government as their buying buddy, right? So the government is going to be able to, force a company to sell something for less. Or when they hire you, they're going to have to hire you at a certain rate, right? Well, the consumer is the final hirer, the final employer. So imagine you're the consumer, and all of a sudden the buying buddy you've had going around, you know, making sure that your salary was up above a certain level, otherwise you couldn't be employed. Wink, wink, get it, minimum wage. But, you know, threatening the employer, thus threatening the consumer, the final employer. Imagine if the buying buddy suddenly manifested the aggression a little bit more overtly. And as you went around to stores, previously he was getting you good deals, forcing the companies to lower their prices, that sort of thing, right? That sort of stuff. To include stuff that maybe they didn't want to include, like an insurance company having to cover X, Y, or Z because the government tells them to. The politicians say, you've got to do this, rather than the politicians opening up their own insurance companies and doing that. That sort of stuff, right? The airbags in cars for your safety rather than giving the producers and the consumers choices about what to buy and sell, that sort of thing. Imagine if he turned on you more manifestly and said, oh, no, you got to pay that guy more as you went to buy something. Well, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Would you like to have the buying buddy around at that point? I don't think so. Well, that's what they actually do with minimum wage laws, but most consumers don't notice that. They think it's only being applied to the evil, exploitative employer. You're going to have to pay more for that service from that employee. Well, I might do it myself then. I won't employ that person. Oh, wait, what? We're getting higher unemployment. You are? That's weird. I know, and they're low-skilled people. Really? I could never have imagined. That's crazy. I'd like to buy that product from China. No. You're going to have to pay more for that. Well, yeah, but, you know, I can employ that low-skilled. No. We've already made sure that low-skilled person's unemployed. See, that's the way that goes, because everybody's got to turn to us for the answers of the problems that we've already created through diktats of politicians in the state. It's awesome. Keep turning to the state. It works really well. So, of course, they are haranguing and arguing. And, yes, the Constitution does give the federal government the power to impose tariffs on incoming goods and impose excise taxes on goods made in the United States. And that's led to all sorts of wonderfulness. Like, oh, one of the big drivers of the Great Depression, that would be one of the big, big tariffs, Smoot Hawley. Then you've got, of course, the whiskey rebellion with the excise tax on whiskey for people in western Pennsylvania, Ohio, places like that. They had a real good time trying to pay that. It's awesome. That's awesome. Oh, and by the way, when it comes to saving some money and freedom of association, as Jacob Hornberger and I got to discuss, in a peaceful world, I don't have a right to say I am going to prevent my neighbor from hiring someone, having dinner with someone, dating someone, having a conversation with someone, right? Whether it's someone down the street or someone from another state or someone from another country, right? Janet Yellen trying to put up potential blocks or threats about Chinese products that will cost you more. Same thing as stopping that foreign worker who might be in the nation state overseas from coming to the United States to provide the services on the soil of the United States. Again, if you think you're a constitutionalist, if you'd like to think that you're comfortable with what the founders wrote and you think that that is a good document for the operational system called the United States of America government. Therefore, as a result, I would hope that you would recognize that immigration, the word, is not in the Constitution and it's left up to the states. But beyond that, as I've mentioned, economically, logically, and philosophically, it is impossible to claim that any border barrier that the government puts up actually is indicative of where anyone wants a border. Only with private property and private decisions made with free will, as we saw in the video about the roads and things like that, only when private individuals have free will to express something can they actually express their values. So what we see, of course, is that when the government says, well, you value American jobs here that are currently existent that will cost more than for a product than if you were to buy the product over there, and you also don't value the other work that could be created if you were allowed to save the money and buy the foreign product, we've got to protect those current jobs. They never can change. We never can come up with an invention that might put them out of work. We never can come up with the inclined plane that might put the second guy who lifts something out of work. In other words, allow one guy to do the work of two people to be more efficient and then freeing up that new guy to do new things that could help people and experiment and discover new things. No, you must toil. You must toil. In fact, we're going to add to your labor, cut off your arm, pull a Harrison Bergeron and add sandbags to everybody. That's what we're going to do. So whether they do it through policy on international fronts or through immigration blockages, none of it is moral. None of it is right. The idea of political borders is unsupportable logically, and constitutionally it's supposed to be left up to the state levels. But let's get into the immigration story, everybody. And for that, I want to turn to, am I going to go with Immigrant Song from Zeppelin? I watched some Robert Plant last night. No. Gonna go with Wall of Voodoo, my friends. Yeah, Stan Ridgway, baby. Oh, man. How many of you were around when this song came out? I was 1 year old. Yeah, I was 1 year old when this song came out, and I recorded it on cassette from radio station WBCN right after I threw my Vietnam medals over the wall. And I then later said that I just threw the ribbons. You know, it's all completely truthful right here at Liberty Conspiracy. So, no, I don't remember how old I was, like 12 or something when that song came out. Great song. Love that song. Great tune. Here it is, everybody. And now we can make a nice reference to the Rolling Stones. New York City dissolves right to shelter. Right to shelter. Give me shelter rules, leaving illegal migrants stranded. Now, this is another great example of the rotten journalism behind this. Notice as you go through this, everybody. Now, let me ask you if your mind is like mine on, you know, when you read articles oftentimes. So generally speaking, when I'm reading an article, I see the headline like that and I say, okay, this is a political move. Somebody made a decision. Who was it? Was it done through legal means, through the jury, through the jurisprudential means, through the courts? Or was it done through a change in policy from someone or what? Right? What's going on here? Right? Well, of course, as often happens in the political world, the active voice wasn't applied, to use the passive voice. The writer did not apply the active voice for a long, long time, or actually cite how this happened. After multiple paragraphs, you got to read, 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 and then you finally discover what you figured was the case. It's New York City Mayor Eric Adams making a decision that seems to run contrary to his previous decision about handing people the $10,000 debit cards, claiming that sanctuary city status was awesome, and of course, completely buying into the welfare state as he has for a long time. Here's the story. It comes to us via GistFest, and I don't know who wrote it, but here it is. After 42 years, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the right which made the lives of thousands easier in New York City ended. It's a right. It's a right. Okay, there's red flag number one. Buck, buck number one, as the formerly funny Bill Cosby would have done. Or as Family Feud would say, strike number one, the right to shelter policy. It's a right to shelter, which ensured same-day housing for those who were eligible for it, was terminated. It was terminated. See? Passive voice, not active voice. It was terminated. It just happened. It was killed. I don't know who killed it. It just got killed. I don't know how it happened. This must have been some zeitgeist or something. I have no idea. Maybe it was targeted by IDF. It got killed. So far, over 180,000 individuals sought asylum in New York City alone. 180,000 individuals since when? Since the start of it? Seems like a low number. Previously, these individuals were guaranteed shelter. Oh, so it's not since the start of it. You give us no time frame, right? So again, bad reporting. Previously, these individuals were guaranteed shelter, but now they are left stranded facing uncertainty and hardships. So look, the number is not really relevant to the story of the policy change. So let's just get to who made the decision and whether or not it's permanent. The termination of the policy has left many without a place to live. This is deeply impacted. Ah, that's great. Yeah, you're very sophisticated, aren't you? Those facing hardships through migration and settling into a new place. You know, migration that was facilitated by the feds thanks to the central command and control collectivist system of migration control from Washington. Yes, conservatives, you're getting exactly what you wanted. Not exactly, but it's central control. Enjoy trying to control that. The sudden end to the right to shelter policy led to many migrants opting for numerous survival tactics that are dangerous or nearly impossible to achieve. Many migrants resort to makeshift shelters, Rolling Stones. They sleep in trains, streets, or public restrooms. Some of them even perform trapeze acts. I know. It's like, what? What? They are now forced to ensure harsh conditions. Some wear multiple layers. Again, this is the this is the fifth paragraph of this piece. So we go on and on and on and on. They stay in shelters, but they can't stay in shelters. It's, you know, very emotional, of course. You got to go with the emotions. And we go further into the sixth paragraph. Critics argue that this change may exacerbate the cycle of homelessness. Then we go into the seventh paragraph. Reports about instances of illegal apartments, overcrowding, and desperate measures taken by migrants. Reports include, these conditions have underscored systemic failures and societal inequalities, further heightened by the changes in shelter policies. They're societal inequalities. You know, when you move someplace and you've got no money, it's somebody else's fault. It's society. Society made me what I am, repo man. NYC, once known as a sanctuary city providing shelter and aid to those in need, now faces scrutiny over its new policies. Evil New York. Go ahead, bite the big apple. And that is the eighth paragraph. Then we go to the ninth paragraph. New York City is grappling with legal complexities until we reach the tenth paragraph. Here it is. Two-thirds of the way through the article, you actually find out why the change occurred, to use the passive voice. Who changed things? Why, it was, of course, right there, New York City Mayor Eric Adams justified ending the so-called right to shelter by citing unsustainable costs and strained resources. You mean he didn't get enough from the government from Washington? He noted that budget cuts affect those experiencing homelessness and essential services. There you go. That is just phenomenal, huh? Well, as a little addendum, I want to do two things. Moving from the immigration story into the war story, I want to turn to a great book and an excellent writer, Writer for Freedom, a great guy, formerly the head of the Freeman magazine, Sheldon Richman, and his Free Association blog, and his Thank Goodness It's Friday, or Thank Goodness It's Freedom, piece from April 5th. Because this tells us a little bit more about some of the funky things people do when they look at the migration story, and it folds into that cover you see right there of his book, Coming to Palestine, which is a terrific book. I've had it for a number of years, put out by the Libertarian Institute, as Sheldon went to Palestine and discovered years ago just how bad things were for so many of the people there living under the yoke of the Israeli government. He wrote on Friday in a piece titled Static Analysis, Clouds Immigration Debate, quote, or I'm just reading it. Opponents of people's freedom to cross national borders to where the best jobs are, a.k.a. open borders, make a rookie error. They engage in static analysis and overlook the dynamism of social processes that freedom produces. There's plenty more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find us every Monday through Friday on Rockfin, Rumble, and Twitter starting 6 p.m. Eastern Time, live. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash with BitRefill.com, where you can buy gift cards from big retailers, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.